Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking to our regular guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection today. Michelle Reinen back with us. She's the Executive Policy Initiatives Advisor of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to hear your voice and be with you remotely today.
Yeah, it is indeed. Laura Sutherland with us as well. She's the Administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Laura, good to have you with us as well.
Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you, Larry.
Good talking with you. So as fear of the new coronavirus ramps up, unfortunately, the scammers are ramping up as well. So we'll talk with them about some of those scams today and certainly answer your questions as well. You think you may have been scammed? I hope you give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. First, well, you both are working from home. Michelle, how's it been going so far?
Well, keeping busy, that's for sure. The scam artists don't let us take a break, regardless of where we're working from.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Laura, how about you?
I'm keeping busy, too, and trying to keep my kids out of my hair while we're working. But plenty of work happening, for sure.
Oh, man. There's just so much information about this virus out there, and so much of it looks legitimate. Do you have some tips for us to know what's real and what's a scam? Michelle, do you want to talk about that?
I think the most important thing that everyone needs to remember is if they want reliable, accurate information, that they need to use those reliable sources. Go to wisconsin.gov COVID-19 website and look at the up-to-date information that's being provided about Wisconsin there. Or go to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website or World Health Organization website and get your facts from those sources. Don't rely on all the different social media posts that may come up or conversations as fact. That also may contain links that lead you to other imposter websites and may put additional fear into you, but misdirect you as it relates to treatments or cures or vaccinations, and then that could trip you up into a scam.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate that we have all those folks out there, and there are lots of scams out there right now, aren't there?
Yes, there are a lot of scams. Unfortunately, I think you said this, Larry, at the top of the hour that, you know, this pandemic unfortunately brings out some of the worst characteristics of our population. It brings out some great, great stories and areas of strength and hope, but it also brings out people who are going to take advantage of the vulnerable. So definitely need to do what Michelle said and look to those resources of solid information from the government that that has true, accurate information about how to keep ourselves healthy and safe. But some of the scams that we're seeing pop up are scams related to phishing. Lots of phishing scams where you'll see a pop-up in your social media. You'll see a pop-up in your email asking you to click on a link to take you to an area of information that you think is relevant. So maybe we've heard of scams of a link that you can click and see where all the viruses, all the affected people are in your community. That link does not exist, and you shouldn't click on it. Of course, there are a lot of snake oil salesmen that are coming out. Just let me say at the very top, there are no vaccines, there are no cures. So if someone is telling you that they have that is a scam, that is fraud, and you should not click on a link to look into it or give any money to purchase anything related to it. That is a scam. And we encourage you to report those to us because oftentimes when you see those types of scams, they're targeting vulnerable communities, certain areas, and we can get out in front of it and issue an alert and let people know there's a certain scam in your community that is targeting certain community members, and you should pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's good advice. We have a caller online, Ryan from Blue Mounds, Wisconsin. Ryan, thank you for calling.
Hey, yes, I'm just calling to thank the department for some help that they've given us just within recent days. About a week or so ago, our Netflix account got hacked. And right now, with everybody staying at home and watching Netflix, that it's absolutely impossible to get hold of them. And so we canceled that credit card, but we also put in a complaint to Consumer Protection. And they wrote a letter to Netflix. And just yesterday, we got a phone call from Netflix and that very helpful woman there who is straightening out this issue with us. But without that letter from the Department of Consumer Protection, we would not have gotten anything from Netflix at this point. So I just want to send my appreciation to them for that.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much. Michelle, nice news to hear.
That's fabulous news to hear. And we, all the staff is in Consumer Protection and is still working and trying to assist consumers with their problems and doing the enforcement that we've always done. So be sure that you are still reporting the issues that you might be experiencing and filing those complaints. And, you know, as Laura had mentioned just before Ryan did his gracious thank you, one of the things we've seen is a real decrease from consumers reporting telemarketing scams, the robocalls that are out there. And I know everyone's attention is diverted to other things, but as so many consumers are telecommuting now, they are home with their phones and available to answer those calls and potentially fall victim to the scams because they're probably responding to phone calls that they're normally at work, out of the home when they're coming in. So we want to be sure consumers are still letting us know what things are coming across their phone lines so we can be paying attention to those issues and following up on them or getting the word out so there is some great prevention out there.
You know, I was thinking about that before the show and wondering, are the lines, you know, you've got your 800 number. Are there people there to answer that 800 number from the department?
Absolutely. Laura, go ahead.
Yeah, so we have got lots of people staffing those lines and answering voicemails when they can't get a live call and calling folks back. It's we were able to get them out of the building, which we're excited about, but we have more people working on those lines and responding to consumers' concerns and complaints than we had prior to the crisis. So really responding to the uptick in call volume as quickly as we can.
What is that number again?
That number is 1-800-422-7128.
1-800-422-7128. Why did I write that down wrong? I'm not even going to tell you what I wrote down. 1-800-422-7128. That's the proper number. And for the go online, how do we do that if we instead want to go online to register a complaint or ask a question?
You can go to our hotline account, which is DATCP hotline at wisconsin.gov, and email us a complaint. Or you can go to our website at datcp.wi.gov.
DATCP.wi.gov. All right. You have a question for our guests today, Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland from the Department of Consumer Protection within the Division of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Not an aside, really, but a different kind of question. What about the monetary relief that each of us or many of us will be receiving from the government? When will that help be legitimately ready, or do we know? Michelle, do you know?
Well, we're going to be receiving additional details in the days to come as to exactly when those payments will be sent out, but that is being updated every day. But the important thing for consumers to realize is that no action is needed by most people at this time in order to get that payment. Don't pay attention to any phone calls saying that you need to verify information over the phone. Do not pay attention to any contacts that you might receive saying you need to make a small payment in order to get your payment. But there's great information about this on our website. We've linked to the IRS. Regarding the economic impact payments on our website, so you can get the latest information and any alerts that may come as to scams that are circulating out there. But you will not need to do anything, respond to phone calls or verify information in order for you to receive that payment.
Let's take another call. Ron in Madison, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Ron.
Thanks. Medicare started recently, less than 4 weeks ago. I retired after more than 6 years of full-time employment with the same place. Out of my final direct deposit, they stole $1,511.25 by paying less than half of the accumulated vacation and legal holiday hours. We went round and round for weeks to get them to find someone to clearly state that 14 days was the legally required notice before the retirement date. We did that, and now they've stolen more than $1,500. How do we pry my money out of their fingers?
Okay. Well, Michelle, do you want to take a crack at it?
And let me just be clear, if I can ask one follow-up question. This is the company you worked for that withheld the money, correct?
It's not actually a company. It uses four different names, and in recent years they have rebranded themselves UW Health.
Okay.
It is the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. So one thing, if you've dealt with your, retirement individuals with the entity that you're dealing with, this is for anyone who may encounter such a situation, you go back to your retirement benefits counselor and ask them, you've asked those questions, they've given you a reason. Anything beyond that, as it relates to personnel and payment issues, our Department of Workforce Development is the state agency that deals with those employer-employee issues that, and any regulations that may exist in details there. So I would advise that you reach out to them. I know that they are incredibly busy with, unemployment issues right now, but I'd still put in your question, your concern, or complaint to that agency so those individuals can respond with all the facts. I know Consumer Protection doesn't have any handle into this situation. So the Department of Workforce Development with the state of Wisconsin.
Ron, good luck with that. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Taking a look at all kinds of consumer protection issues, many of them coming up as a result of the coronavirus scams that are out there. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Natalie Guyette, our on-air producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at consumer scams today with Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They work within the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. So it's great to have them with us today, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments as we move along today. Maybe you've had some experiences with scammers and you want to talk about. Again, 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, you two are working from home, and you're not alone. Many folks are working from home right now. And how do we make sure our home computers are protected? Michelle, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So one of the first things we want to make sure everyone does, if they haven't already, is make sure their operating system is up to date, that they are using the latest operating system for their device, and then that their antivirus software is up to date as well, and they've done a full scan of the system. And then consider, after those two things, how you're connecting to your internet. You know, are you using Wi-Fi, and is all that a secure system, password protected and locked down? And then, if not, do so. And then the third thing is really watch and monitor the sites that you're going to. Be sure that you are typing in the URL, using reliable pre-established links or bookmarks that you have pre-established and put in place. But don't just be clicking link to link from all the latest emails or social media that you might be seeing out there, because, again, you could be clicking on something that will load malware onto your system and infect the system. You could be going to an imposter website that will ask for information, ask you to verify passwords and things, and you put that information in just moving about your day with all the distractions that you may have working from home. And then now you've subjected yourself to possible identity theft, or made yourself vulnerable by handing off your personal information. So you need to really still definitely keep your wits about you as you are working on your home device, and know that you're doing your work there. And if you are connecting to your work network, hopefully they've established a VPN connection for you, so you also have a secure bridge to any files and things that you are operating on from your work system.
All good advice. Let's take another call. Vicki in La Crosse, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I was wondering, the other day I had a phone call that I answered, that I'm usually not home and they never leave a message then, but I did answer the call, and somebody wanted to know if I still had my insurance, my health insurance, and they gave the name of my company, and then they wanted to know if I was still working. And to both questions, I just said nothing has changed. I didn't give them any specific information. And then I called the insurance company and I reported it. But the woman I was talking to, she didn't sound very interested. And I know in my own job, I take calls all the time about scam calls. And I was just wondering, because it's a health insurance company and it's not in Wisconsin, if this is something I could report to the Consumer Protection Agency.
Oh,
no, go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, so I think that's a great question, and I appreciate you making asking us. I think you should report it to us, because if you're covered by it, then we may have other Wisconsin residents that are covered by this company. But certainly we're seeing scams where people are calling, and or we're hearing about scams being reported around the country where people are calling and are asking and soliciting information under the veil of their calling about the coronavirus. So as an initial matter, folks should not answer these calls. They shouldn't take robocalls, and they shouldn't provide personal information about their work status and their insurance company to somebody that they don't know and trust. We are seeing an uptick of those reported scam calls around the country. So we encourage you not to take those calls, but we also encourage you to file a complaint with the department at 1-800-422-7128. We'd like to catalog these and make sure we're staying on top of them, and where alerts are necessary to the community, we can do that as quickly as possible.
Yeah, good advice. Thanks, Vicki, for calling. And please do go ahead and file a complaint. Again, to file a complaint, it's 1-800-422-7128, or you can go online to datcp.wi.gov. So there we go. Heather in Wausau, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I love your show.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I'm real embarrassed about this, but I'm the idiot. This is what happened, and thank you, the previous caller, regarding Netflix. I unveiled this to myself last month, and the thing is, I inadvertently paid Netflix twice for months and months because I confused my PayPal credit card with my PayPal account service. So the only thing I can think I had done was that I stopped the Netflix with one and then started it up a month or two later. But it went on for more than a year. It's only because I paid my PayPal credit card off last month to zero. And then, less than a week later, the Netflix monthly service was being taken out. And so I called the credit card, PayPal credit card, and they said, no. You know, that's done. You're done. It was, and then she said, perhaps it's the service, the PayPal service. So I confused PayPal credit card with the PayPal service, which doesn't cost anything and insulates yourself from using a credit card, but mixed it up myself. So Netflix did return, I think it was 2 months, but that was it. Even though for months, I mean months, I paid Netflix for one account under my name and my address, which is the same, twice for the same, for one service.
Oh, boy. That's too bad. Well, Laura, do you want to take a crack at that? What should she do? What should Heather do now? Sounds like she got 2 months worth of money back, but there's another 10 months or so worth of money that she feels like she still has coming.
It's a good question. And actually, Heather, don't feel badly about this because I know of other people who have done a similar thing, accidentally paid off twice. So it happens. I think these things are confusing. Don't beat yourself up. But it sounds like you've done some efforts to get the money back. I would encourage you to call our hotline and see if our hotline can help you work with Netflix and PayPal to address this issue. It does sound like you were double charged, by accident, and it should be something that we can help you resolve. So I think we talked about the number at the top of the hour, so maybe you got it, but 1-800 422-7128. Give us a call and see if some of our mediators, our skilled mediators, can help you walk through this issue and sort of unring that bell.
Yeah, that'd be great. 1-800-422-7128. Good luck, Heather. Thank you so much. Let's take another call. Vicki in Mount Horeb, you're next. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for your guest. If you bookmark a site that you visit frequently and then always go to the bookmark to pull up that site, are you guaranteeing that you are going to the correct site and not a copy or something fraudulent?
That's an interesting question. Michelle?
It is my understanding that when you bookmark a site, that you have typed in the URL and you bookmark that URL, that you will always go to that same one, you know, unchanged. So you may need to refresh the page when you get there, depending upon the session and updated information, but that you will always be going there and not some imposter that's taken over, because they would have some other twist to the site. And you will have wanted to type in that URL yourself before you bookmark it.
Okay, so type it in yourself, bookmark it, and you should be fine, Vicki. Thank you so much for that question. That's one we haven't had before. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Love to hear from you. Someone else wondered about folks who are able to help either through volunteering their time or donating money. How do they make sure organizations are legitimate? What signs should they be looking for?
That's a great question, Larry. And, you know, during these times of crisis, there are a lot of people who want to help and who want to volunteer and who want to donate money. And also there are a lot of folks that pop up like scam artists to take advantage of those who want to help. So there are some great places that you can figure out whether it's a legitimate charity and whether or not you should be donating your time or your money to them. So Charity Navigator is an excellent place. It really gives you information about the charity, and it gives you information about how much money is going to the various services that they're providing. You can also look at the Department of Financial Institutions to find out if the charity is registered and any information that they may have about that. And you can also find out if they have complaints against a charity. So you want to do your homework before you do any amount of donating or volunteering for an organization in this time of crisis, because there are scam charities out there, and they will take advantage of folks. And if you find that it is a scam charity, you can file a complaint about that. The Department of Justice, the Wisconsin Department of Justice, enforces our charity law, as does the Department of Financial Institutions. So either place, you can file a complaint about fraudulent charities. If you file it with us, we'll get it to the right place as well.
Excellent. Let's take another call. Mary Ann in Madison, I believe, is up next. Mary Ann, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm going round and round with canceled travel plans. I had planned a significant trip to Europe, and it involved an airline ticket. It involved a tour in a major city, and then it also involved a visit to a World War II cemetery where I have a relative buried. And this year they were going to have a large 75th anniversary of the end of World War II celebration, and they wanted lots of relatives of those servicemen buried there to come. And so, of course, it all got canceled, or most of it. The tour was canceled, but they won't give me a refund. They only want to give me travel vouchers. I was able to cancel my bed and breakfast by the near the cemetery, and that was just fine. The airline for an overseas flight will give me e-miles, but they have to be used by December 31st of this year. Who knows if that's going to be possible? And I would rather have a refund and then start all over again when I know it's safe to travel.
Okay, tough issue there, and I would bet that Mary Ann is not the only one who is dealing with canceled travel plans, Michelle.
No, she is not, and I'm sorry that you're missing such a grand vacation as well. And we have heard from a number of consumers that are encountering variations on the same theme, and we encourage you to try working with the venues that in businesses that you had the plans with. Follow what they're doing as it relates to their cancellation policies, because many have altered their refund and cancellation policies from what their normal everyday previous policy had been. But you need to check with them and follow that. And if you're still not reaching a resolution that you're satisfied with, you can file a complaint with Consumer Protection, and we can try and help assist. But refund policies in the past are always, they need to honor what their policy is as it is promoted and advertised. And again, many are changing or altering. Those who maybe had no cancellation policies are giving credits or vouchers for future stay or travels. Some are just providing refunds. Others are giving
very large extensions of time for rebooking. So we can try and assist through this process since Marianne has gone through and done all the contacts and communications already, and I fully understand her desire to be able to rebook when it's best for her in the situation. But you know, that they're extending it till the end of the year, and depending upon when things resolve themselves, then they may end up re-extending that or in altering that again. But file a complaint at this point in time, and all the other advice is for everyone else who may find themselves in that situation, because Marianne's followed all those steps already.
And again, go to datcp.wi.gov. You can file right there, Marianne. And thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Can you guys talk about the tax relief anticipation loans? What are they called, RALs or something like that? What are they?
So a relief anticipation loan or a tax refund anticipation loan really is an advance on money. It's a loan based on what you anticipate to receive from the government. So when it comes to tax refund anticipation loans, you know what you think your refund will be, and then you try and get an advance on that from a lender. Same thing we are anticipating seeing as it relates to the relief checks that will be coming. And there's some things to really watch out for in regards to these loans. And we don't want anyone to be fooled by any commercial that encourages you to use a refund as a down payment on a car or new furniture, because there might be great interest rates there. And you also may not get the amount that you are anticipating. There might be an error in the taxes, and you won't get that full refund. The government has outlined what individuals should receive as it relates to their economic impact check, but there may be a factor that we don't know about, and someone will receive something different. So you always want to be cautious about the amount you take out in a loan, that you understand what will happen if you don't get that full amount back and have to pay that. What's the interest rate that you will have to pay that money back at? Are there fees? And what are those, and how will they be charged? And you want all these details understood up front. You want to be sure that you get them in writing and do the math. Make sure you know what that interest rate's going to end up being in the end, especially if your anticipated amount is not what you think it should be. So these are things to really watch out for. Are there application fees, filing fees, repayment fees, and how do those factor into that? And if people are trying to get these to maybe pay off some bills or other issues that they have for moving forward, balance that math against talking to a credit card company about maybe having to delay a payment, or if you need to borrow money from another source, a bank, what those interest rates and payments would be, and make sure you're getting a good deal and you understand the math and aren't paying more for that refund anticipation loan than you think based on the advertisement you might see.
Yeah, good advice. Nancy in Grafton, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning. Sun is shining. It's beautiful. Anyway, what I need to know is I have three envelopes here from different police organizations, Wisconsin State Lodge, Fraternal Order of Police, one for Ozaukee County here, and I forget the other one. But anyhow, they all would like for me to send them some money. Oh, where the heck is this money going, and who's getting it, and what is it being used for? I'll listen on the radio.
All right. What should Nancy be doing in this circumstance?
Well, it sounds like she wants to maybe research those organizations to see if those are places she wants to give money. And so some of them sounded like they could be charitable organizations or nonprofits. And one place you can do research is charitynavigator.org or give.org, the Better Business Bureau, and they outline what the cause is, how much money is used for administrative overhead versus how much money goes to the cause. But then you also want to follow and check with the State Department of Financial Institutions that regulates charities in the state and be sure that they're registered to collect money here and be a charity in our state. So there's some different sources to gather information and do your research to make your decisions. If you believe that one of them is fraudulent in nature, we want you to report that to Consumer Protection or the Department of Financial Institutions so we can be sure we're following up on the mailings that they're sending to consumers trying to entice them. So, again, that would be at datcp.wi.gov where you could file a complaint and report one of those if they aren't proven to be legitimate. If they're legitimate, you just have to balance who you want to give to and if they fulfill the desires that you want for where your donation dollars go.
And if I'm not mistaken, I know for sure the overhead can vary quite a bit. I mean, sometimes the overhead, you know, it could be 90% of your money would be going to in overhead to the outfit that's calling you, as opposed to like directly to the organization itself. Isn't that correct?
You're absolutely right, Larry. When you research at the give.org or charitynavigator.org, they provide that, yeah, that administrative overhead and show you that percentage versus what goes to the actual cause, whether it be research dollars or food assistance or whatever it may be. And it can vary drastically. The administrative can be 5% or you can see things in the 90. And that often tells consumers something.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Nancy, again, thank you. Appreciate the call. Lillian in Monona will go to you next. Hi, Lillian.
Hi. I'm very concerned because yesterday I received an email that told me that my order receipt from PayPal for $549.99 to Amazon LLC was successful. I have nothing to do with either one of those. I don't have an account with Amazon, and I don't really know what PayPal is. This was sent on the 31st of March, so on Monday, and or Tuesday, and I got it yesterday. And I'm really not sure what to do with it. There's a transaction ID, which is a group of letters and numbers, and it says you have authorized a charge of $549.99 to Amazon LLC, and it's too early for me to check my account on something that came the very end of March. So I don't know if this has been withdrawn, but I don't understand what they're really talking about, and I don't want to lose $549.
Right. Understood. You don't want to lose $549. Well, Michelle, do you want to comment?
Well, I can answer that.
Laura, okay.
Yeah, Lillian, I know that's scary. And let me just ask, did you say you got an email or you got a letter?
An email.
An email, okay. Well, so as we've already said, don't click on anything in that email. If you don't have an Amazon account or a PayPal account, that's probably a scam or fraud. So what I would suggest you do is call your bank. I understand that you can't check your paper records just yet about your bank, but you should be able to call your bank and determine whether or not there has been a withdrawal for either of those matters, just to make yourself feel confident. But my guess is that that's a scam if you don't have an account with either one of them. So once you look into your bank and determine whether or not there's an issue there, you'll have some relief that nothing has happened. If it's also an issue with your credit card, if they're suggesting that it's done through a credit card, if you have a credit card, I would call the fraud department on your credit card, and that should be on the back of your credit card, to flag this for them, to tell them that you've gotten this and there is a indication that there was a transfer made between two companies, neither of which you have any connection to. So they can also flag that. They may suggest that you cancel your credit card if that's the case, and that I would take that advice just to be safe. You can also file a complaint with our department if you want to have someone walk through this with you, just to determine whether or not there's any other issues of identity theft or other precautionary measures you can take to keep your finances and your personal information safe. Chances are this is just a spam fraud email, and they're trying to get you to respond to either a phone number in the email or an email response so they can steal money from you. So your lack of response is probably the best thing that you've done, and you're probably okay. But if you want to just double check with your bank, your credit card, you can also check your credit report, and feel free to call our offices, and they can walk you through all this stuff. And again, that number is 1-800-422-7128.
And thank you very much for calling, Lillian. Appreciate your call. And do follow up on Laura's advice. Call your bank today and get the ball rolling a little bit. Laura is Laura Sutherland, and also with us today, Michelle Reinen from the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at consumer protection issues today with Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland from the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Larry Mueller here. Questions for our two experts. I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've had an experience, have a question about. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Joel in Ironwood, Michigan is up with a comment. Let's go there. Joel, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Can I add a moment of levity to this conversation?
Well, I give it a shot.
Okay. Both my parents, or at least one of them, was from Europe, and my last name would indicate the country. My father spoke three languages, and my mother spoke two, and I learned some appropriate comments in responding to telephone calls that I was suspicious of being a call that was looking for a donation or something like that. So when I answer, and my wife doesn't like that when I do that, I speak in one of the languages of my mother, which is Bohemian.
Well, but I wonder, is that a good thing to do, to answer the call in the first place, Michelle?
Well, our message is we really encourage consumers to not respond to the phone calls in any fashion if they are able to. You say, if you pick up the phone, you typically say hello, and you hear it's something that is a scam nature or a robocall, and just disconnect. And anything beyond that, it can be more challenging for the consumer, because you could end up on a list. You know, if they want to turn around and sell your name that this person engages, you start speaking a different language, they may respond with something and catch your interest, and you may divulge information, just being caught off guard. So we really just encourage consumers to disconnect in every opportunity that they have. as a best practice.
Okay, there we go. Joel, thanks for calling. Well, Robert in Pewaukee, what's on your mind?
Well, I was at a seminar a while back, and an insurance person was talking about being careful with wire transfers and how these hacks sit and wait and monitor your email. And then when, for instance, you're making purchasing a home, and they'll say, okay, transfer the money now. They'll interfere and say, okay, here's the address to send the money to, so that you should always call and verify before you actually send it. And he gave many examples where that has happened to people.
Wow, that's one I hadn't heard about, Michelle.
We have seen a bit more of that as it relates to real large transactions of money, and heard some different stories of that. So we do encourage confirmation before you proceed based on an email, because you need to be sure someone hasn't intercepted any information in any fashion. And that's where it's always really important to check on your device, your operating system, the security. But when we're dealing with large sums of money that will be wired, or even small sums of money for people that will be wired, it's gone once it's wired. And you need to be sure that you know exactly where it's going during that transmittance. So making a phone call using your source information, not what's in that email, will be really important to confirm before you proceed.
Makes good sense. Chad in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Chad.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I just had a suggestion for people who are getting scammed about over their phones, especially with text these days, with these links that you can click or a hyperlink on the text. My phone, I have a dumb phone. I invested on a website at Indiegogo, and they have developed a phone that can only have limited functions where it just has text or phone calls. And so it sort of helps me avoid any sort of self-scam or any kind of scams coming in from people from all over.
Ah, so a dumb phone, Laura.
Yeah, that's interesting. What did you say it was called, from Indiegogo? What was the name of the company again?
The company is called Lightphone, and they kind of really promote sort of a, you know, get away from your data on your phone, just sort of like live your life. I mean, there's no camera, there's nothing for you to get into trouble with, basically.
Yeah, so
it's a phone.
A lot of reasons to buy that phone. I could
talk
my kids into doing it. Yeah, that's great advice. I would also just remind folks that there has been a law that was passed, and we've talked about it on this show, the TRACE Act, that is putting new restrictions in place on our carriers that they attempt to authenticate these numbers coming in and going out. So ideally, without any action on the part of the consumer, we're seeing fewer calls coming in, and then also alerts that may be potential scam, so not to answer. And our hope is that the call numbers will these scam calls will start to go down. And as Michelle said at the top of the hour, we are getting fewer reports about telemarketing scams. So hopefully the TRACE Act is having some impact, and these new authentication software that's being deployed by most of the carriers, most of the major phone carriers right now, is actually having an impact on whether we're getting these scam robocalls.
Yeah. Chad, thank you again. Appreciate it. Dan in Pine Bluff, your turn. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Larry, and everyone else. I'm a senior citizen. I was looking for dating services. I subscribed for 6 months to a thing called Seniors Meet, and this was over a year and a half ago. So after the first 6 months, I tried to cancel my subscription, and I did the best I could to cancel. Then I later found out they're still billing me. So I let them know I didn't want to be billed beyond 6 months. But they said, well, we're going to bill you for up to a year. There was no good way to cancel, apparently. And then, more recently, I got notices from an organization called Match.com. They said, we're billing you. And I said, I'd never subscribed. Don't bill me. And I eventually had to cancel my credit card and replace it.
Huh. Well, Michelle, comments should Dan be following up with you folks, or what do you have to say?
Yeah, that's exactly my suggestion, is to file a complaint with Consumer Protection. The first one where you had the six-month period and then wanted to cancel, we'd be interested as to what kind of agreement that was, if it was just a six-month agreement and they automatically extended it, or if it was a one-year but then there was no cancellation policy disclosed to you, and that we'd want to follow and look at that information. And then the other one where you're just being billed but didn't authorize or sign up for any of those services, that also is something that we look at Consumer Protection, and related to dating or any issue, if consumers are being billed for things they're not authorizing. So you could go to our website at datcp.wi.gov and fill out a complaint form for each issue there, or you could call our hotline at 1-800-422-7128, and a complaint form can be mailed out to you.
Yeah, that sounds like there was some information, or maybe it's the same company under two different names, or it could be, you never know how those kind of things work out. Well, Michelle Reinen and Lara Sutherland from the Bureau of Consumer Protection of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection will be with us up until 12:30 today to talk more about consumer scams. I hope you'll join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we will be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at all kinds of consumer issues with our guest today from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Lara Sutherland is the administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen is the Executive Policy Initiatives Advisor within the Bureau. So great to have both of them with us. If you have a question or comment, or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. You know, many of us have prepaid services. We've got gym memberships, for example, and we can't use them. Will refunds be given? That's a question I think on a lot of people's minds. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, so if you're a member of a gym, you should review your membership information in the contracts. And regardless of the service, that's always going to be an important first step. And then clear communication with the service provider that you have. But specific to fitness center contracts, they must provide that if there's any facility or service described in the contract that becomes unavailable, then that buyer is liable for only a proportional part of their contract and service, so, you know, that prorated amount. And the consumer could be entitled to a refund for anything that was already prepaid. And that's because fitness centers have a specific state law in our statutes that governs that piece of it. But there'll be other services that seem similar to fitness centers, where you sign a contract up front for something, and they may have a disruption clause built into them, and you'll want to follow that. In the absence of a disruption clause, it's important to be communicating about, you know, what your expectations are, understand what your availability is if they're trying to demand that you make payment, you know, what that is, because you aren't receiving that service. And try and reach a mutual understanding, but put it in writing. That will always be very important to document what of other agreement you may come to. Some may just extend your contract. If this disruption lasts a month, whatever your contract may be, they may tack the month on to the end. And will that be agreeable to you? So have that conversation if you're not liking those results. You know, if it's not successful in any way and you don't feel you're getting anywhere, you can file a complaint with Consumer Protection and we'll try and help mediate that situation. We may have regulations that govern it and we may not, but that's where our mediation services come into play. So again, you can contact us on our website at datcp.wi.gov or at 1-800-422-7128, and someone from our hotline can try and assist you.
There we go. Paula in Madison has a question. Paula, hello.
Hi. How are you doing? I hope well.
Oh, well, yes, we are, and glad to have you on the phone. What's your question today?
I've been getting texts. They're political. They're on my cell phone, and I don't know whether I don't want to keep getting these. I don't, you know, I never answer the phone when it's somebody, you know, the robos, but I don't know how to get them to stop doing this, sending me these texts. Is there anything I can do? Should I answer back? I just don't know what would be the, you know, safest, best way, or if it's not even possible.
Yeah, I've been getting a few of those myself. Michelle, what's the plan here?
Well, so you need to be confident who you're receiving them from if you're going to respond, you know, because you want to be sure that it's legitimate. If they're telling you the name of the organization that's contacting you, if it's political in nature, then they would be registered and have contact information on a website that you can reach out and ask them to, in writing, stop texting you and or calling you. Sometimes they provide a to stop this situation, you know, to stop or unsubscribe, click this. But again, you want to be cautious and confident that who you're receiving them from is a legitimate source and not a scam artist posing as a political party, you know, leading you down a path. And then the other thing you might look into is if they're coming from the same source, you could block that information or number. If you have a smartphone, you could just block that one from being received any further, and it won't come through in transmission that way. So a few different avenues, but trying to communicate in writing, whether it's an email or letter back to the party, is going to be best. You can make a phone call if you find legitimate information to reach them at on a website if you know who's contacting you. And then you can always file a complaint with Consumer Protection. Political messaging, solicitations, phone calls, text messages are not covered by the Wisconsin Do Not Call list, but we do still try and mediate those situations in trying to stop them for consumers.
So there you go, Paula. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's turn to Carolyn in Portage next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I got this in the mail with a dollar and a quarter, and it's from the 2020 International Healthcare Experiences Study. And I have not responded to them at all, but I could get back to them. They gave me a phone number, and they also gave me a password with some numbers and letters. And it's signed by David Blumenthal, MD doctor, and a Melissa Herman, president. And it's addressed to me as a Wisconsin resident with my address. And so it's a survey, a research firm, it says, and conducting this study on behalf of the Commonwealth Fund, a nonprofit foundation that conducts research to improve access to health care and the quality care in the United States. And it also says the study is being conducted in 11 countries. So with the scams, I just don't do anything anymore. So I kind of thought maybe you could tell me something about this.
Okay. Lara, do you know anything about it?
I don't know anything about it, and I'm glad that you're taking pause before you fill out a survey and asking questions. So good for you. That's really important. It isn't to say that there aren't legitimate surveys out there. There probably are, and there's ways in which you can investigate whether a nonprofit is legitimate. The other thing that you should be cautious of is giving out any personal identifying information. So anytime a survey comes that wants to know your name, your address, your birth date, your social security number, financial information, any identifying information about you, that is something you should not fill out, and it could very likely be a scam. If it is a survey that is not asking for any of that information and you can respond to it, by just giving general information that wouldn't identify you, I would still encourage you to research whether or not it's a legitimate nonprofit and to try to figure that out. So in the state of Wisconsin, nonprofits are registered with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. So if you have any affiliation with a company, I didn't hear what you said the name of the company was. If it's a company that you recognize and you have a relationship with, you could use a phone number that you know that's true about that company and call the company directly to verify that it's a survey they're doing. And you can also check on whether or not it's a legitimate nonprofit by first starting with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. But as a general matter, if you're getting surveys in the mail, via email, or on your phone, and they're asking for personal identifying information, I would discourage you from giving any of that information because it could very well be a scam.
Oh, there you go, Carolyn. Thank you very much for calling. Let's give Ginny in Green Bay a chance now. Hi, Ginny.
Hi. I have a question about... It's a girlfriend of mine is a hairdresser, and of course, hairdressers can't work now. And she rents her chair, and actually at a couple different places. And one of the places that she rents that informed her that she still has to continue paying her rental, and it just doesn't sound right to me because she can't work. So... what's the deal on that?
All right. Michelle, do you want to take that? Or Laura?
Yeah, I can try to address that question. I think that there are a lot of questions that are like that right now where people are in contractual relationships based on the presumption that they're going to be working, and because we're all at home, to stay safe and prevent the spread of this virus, many of us are not able to work the way we used to. So as a general matter, questions about whether or not you should be working or whether or not a business should be opened are questions that WEDIC can answer. In terms of contractual relationships that you have with third parties as a part of your business, we really encourage people to look at their contracts, their written contracts, and look and see whether or not there are any provisions in the contract that can give you guidance for cancellation or refunds or putting a pause on that contract. And then also just work with your staff to try to come up with a reasonable solution to this problem. I think many contracts that are out there haven't envisioned the crisis that we're living in, and so it really requires people to work on these things together to figure out what is a mutual responsible solution to these problems. But at the end of the day, these are contract questions that that folks have to look at their contracts, maybe speak to an attorney about for guidance to really get a solution.
Ginny, thanks. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Kleina in Racine, we'll give you a chance. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have a question from, I bought a laptop computer back in the end of January, and then this quarantine, I had a certain amount of time. I actually asked the fellow when I bought it, how long do I have? I mean, it's over $1,000, and I did take a credit card out with this company, and he said, well, you have 90 days. Well, when I went back, they had closed the store, and said that there's no Geek Squad, there's no, you can't get in the store, and I've been having problems trying to get to use this computer. I don't know if I've got the features on it that I'm paying for now. And I thought, you know, I talked to my son yesterday, and I was just very distressed. And so I don't know if there's, I think I actually had this virus, but it was before, because I knew somebody right at the beginning of January that had been in China and was in very close contact. And I'm still not feeling great, to tell you the truth. Yeah. But I can't ever prove it because nobody ever tested us and wouldn't test us. And, you know, it's whatever. But, so I'm like, do I have a leg to stand on, or do I have to still just pay for it and suck it up and wait till everything comes back? Or am I losing all the features that I paid for? I paid like $200 for this just to have it for service. And you know, and of course, everything else.
Yeah, now it's closed down. Yeah. Yeah, now it's closed down. And it closed down apparently because of the COVID-19 issue. But there's a tough one, Michelle?
Yeah, so many are extending service contracts to when they reopen, or they may be open remotely for service, and just you can't go to the physical location, but you might be able to get a phone call answered, and they could be able to assist you via the phone or remotely. So if you have a phone number for the company that you've done business with, I don't know if you've tried to call them yet and see what kind of messaging they have. Their physical store is closed, yes, but they may still have employees working, you know, remotely and providing services via phone. And you might be able to ask those questions and then get them to confirm an email if your 90 days would be extended, or if you can get an extension on that in writing from them is an avenue to start with. If you don't get any response that way or any satisfaction, then you can file with Consumer Protection, and we can help try and get some answers or communications from the company, because many are still open in that sense in responding to the government with issues because someone's monitoring the mail.
Yeah. So, and again, just datcp.wi.gov would be the place to go online.
Yes, or if the computer's not working and you can't do that, you can call 1-800-422-7128. The other final thing I just thought of in consideration as well is to talk to your credit card company, because oftentimes you can file disputes with them if things aren't honored, but it needs to be within 60 days of it appearing on the bill. And if this is a service agreement, but you're unable to fulfill it, I don't know. This is, you know, I have no idea. They may be able to put an extension on that dispute process for you and make a file note since the company's closed and can't communicate to see if they'll honor that agreement. But it's worth a conversation and documentation.
Very much so. Kleina, good luck. Thank you so much. I want to go to Beaver Dam next. And Russell, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I've got a complaint about the Beaver Dam Marshfield Clinic, which operates a urgent care. February 10th, I went in figuring I had the flu, and I went to my regular UW office, but it was so jam-packed. So I went to this urgent care. I walked into my own power, and the first question I asked was, now, this is not an emergency, and if I'm going to be charged an emergency, I'm going to turn around and walk off. And the receptionist says, no, you won't be charged an emergency. Well, I got two different bills, one $1,500 and one $1,000, and everything listed on here is emergency services, and they lied right to me, or they just did not tell me the truth. They lied to me. They said, you will not be charged emergency, and it was only like two patients in there, but regular UW was jam-packed. That's why I didn't go. And now I get these bills, all emergency charges. Can I log this with the consumer protection here?
So this is Laura. I'm sorry to hear that, and I hope you're feeling better. Yes, I guess in answer to your last question, I think filing a complaint with us would be useful. We can ideally try to help you work through that complaint and perhaps mediate it with the clinic. There's, you know, without wasting too much time, there's a lot of different agencies that have jurisdiction when it comes to healthcare provisions. So it depends on actually the facts that our hotline uncovers and our mediation unit uncovers. But certainly we take questions and complaints and concerns all the time about billing that consumers dispute related to medical services, and we have some pretty decent resources to try to get to the bottom of those issues. So I encourage you to go ahead and file a complaint, and we can do what we can to resolve that. I also encourage you to save all of your documentation. That'll be critical to getting to the bottom of what happened. And to do so and to file that complaint as soon as you can, so you don't incur any additional late fees or other charges for not having paid in a timely manner.
Good luck, Russell. Thank you so much for calling. Oh, that's an expensive visit. Janet from Oconomowoc called, and she had a similar issue to the woman who had gotten an email from PayPal but didn't have an account. Janet says she got a similar email, ended up calling PayPal to ask about it. They told her to make sure to look to see who the email was addressed to. If it was just her email, it was likely a scam because PayPal would also use your first and last name along with your email. So that was kind of interesting as well.
Yes, that's a good follow-up, and I'm almost hoping she'll send us a complaint so we can look at that, because now that we've got two callers that are getting that email, it makes me wonder whether or not there is more of an issue going on than just a couple folks. So if she has time and she can save that email and file it with our department, we can take a look at it and make sure that there's not a systematic scam email going around impersonating PayPal.
This is Michelle, and just to add to that, it's important to remember that with Amazon and PayPal, those are really big names that tons of consumers do business with, so imposters love to use them because they can throw out that really wide net and catch a lot of potential victims there in responding to that with those phishing emails, because so many people have accounts with either or both of them that it's a really easy name to impersonate as a scam artist and try and get a response there in checking on those accounts.
So no shortage of things to talk about as usual. Well, Michelle and Laura, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and going through this. We didn't get through everything. But I'm glad you're there. And if people have questions, they can call your number, right?
They can call our number. And I also encourage them to visit our website. We have a bunch of FAQs that frequently ask questions about all kinds of things from landlord tenant to coronavirus scams to how to keep safe. So please do visit our website, and learn more about how you can keep yourself safe.
DATCP.WI.gov. Michelle Reinen, Laura Sutherland, thank you both so much. Appreciate it very much. Well, I tell you what, we've got lots more things in store for us. Garden Talk coming up. Joel Karsten will be back to talk straw bale gardening tomorrow at 11. You can catch the first hour again at 6 a.m. on Saturday. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, though, stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer.